The truth is that we should be zeichet to Mashiach, but next week will be Bein HaMetzarim. This man of thinking about the Beis HaMikdash and Churban HaBayis. So I was hoping that next Wednesday night to talk a little bit about the Beis HaMikdash. And today to talk a little bit about Bein HaZmanim. It's actually a lot better to talk about Bein HaZmanim a week before, because Bein HaZmanim needs a lot of strategy. It needs a lot of thought. And we really should be focusing more on Bein HaZmanim. A lot of people, before they start dating, they ask me, they get nervous and they say they want a meeting. So I go in with them into my office. Right, it's good to have that office. And they say, am I ready? And usually I'm not sure. But I say, let's discuss how your Bein HaZmanim's looked. In particular, your last one. But let's see how you've done from Bein HaZmanim to Bein HaZmanim. And by the way, I'm always optimistic if people are old enough to get, you know, to start getting married. I'm like, you can do it. But if I'm speaking to a younger group who doesn't go into the office yet, what's going on in my mind is really that Bein HaZmanim is a very telling time of a person's character, of where they've gotten to. I'm not discussing the actual success of finishing a mesechta over Bein HaZmanim, or even learning for 1 or 2 hours over Bein HaZmanim. I'm talking about character development. And this is why Bein HaZmanim is really an opportunity. It's an opportunity to see where a person's holding, to see what moves them, how do they make their decisions, how in control of themselves are they really. All of us have certain aspirations, but when we're sent out there, it becomes very clear where we're holding. A lot of times, people ask me, we even discussed, Mordechai mentioned this on Monday night, people want confidence. There are even songs about confidence. And we don't find that these songs even create confidence for people. You know, you can say, I could be stronger, I could be greater, I'm the best, and this. But, you know, while you're working out, it works. You know, you're punching in the mirror, looking at your biceps. But usually people are not so confident. And often people ask me, how do you get confidence? How do you get confidence? B'siyata d'shmaya, what seems to make sense to me, is that confidence is created from successes. In any area in life, any success, any movement in your life where there was a failure and then you did better in that area, that success creates confidence. Now, why is that? Because confidence is something that makes you walk with your head high. It makes you not feel like $1 million, but know that you're $1 million. And the way that's done is by living in your life, looking at your problems, the things that you've been working on, not what I've been working on, not what he's been working on, and seeing, am I advancing in those areas? Last year, I was struggling with this thing. And now I've advanced in that. So then the confidence builds. I can do this because I did this. But if a person never tastes any level of success, they can't build confidence. And sometimes we create unrealistic success. We want everything to be cold turkey. We want everything to be all or nothing. Then a person will never gain confidence because that's not realistic. But confidence is created from success after success. And therefore, the Bein HaZmanim experience is so important for us in our character to be successful. Every one of us really wants to be successful. Every one of us wants to point and say, I had opportunities to do things that are not now in my moral code, not things that I would want to have done during this man, and I said no to them. And Bein HaZmanim after Bein HaZmanim, a person can feel like he's becoming a man. But I've seen people who've gone through many Zmanim clean of things and totally crashed and burned for years, afterwards. They were able to live in a bubble where everything was controlled, where everything was put in a safe. Their iPhones were put in a safe, and basically people knew where they were and what they were doing. But when it came to just leaving the bubble, they never developed themselves. So boom, boom, they're out of the bubble. All of a sudden, everything falls apart. And this is why we have to take this very seriously. And I'm Dafka not trying to make this sound like the issue is learning, because we're going to discuss how to learn in Bein HaZmanim. But there's something much more dangerous today. One of the saddest parts of my job is that I can corroborate with all the people who are exaggerating about how technology ruins everything. You know, and I was once, I once got in a fight. My brother Yehuda, who's my older brother, loved this because he was there for the fight. We were with my parents for Shabbos. He comes in, Dov got into a fight. I did. I got into a fight with a very big rabbi in Rechavia. I was walking the street, and he said that he's a Talmud of Rav Moshe Feinstein. Can't believe I'm telling you this. This was not prepared. He's a Talmud of Rav Moshe Feinstein, etc. Very nice. And he says that he went and heard about the Aguda convention. They're saying all this stuff about the internet. The internet says that's not our problem today. That's not our problem. Our problem is intermarriage and Iran. This is what he said. Right, Yosef, you see why I got a little... I couldn't help myself, and this man is twice my age, but I felt it was a Chil Hashem Noira. And I told him, Rav Moshe Feinstein is rolling over in his grave from you. And I believe that, because I'm seeing what's happening over here. What's happening is nothing is exaggerated. I'm only hearing problems in technology. I'm only hearing failures in this area. It's an incredible Nisayan that I did not have when I was growing up. I am so happy that I did not have this Nisayan. We had television, we had movies, we had music, but we did not have the availability to every single thing in the world in our at our disposal at any moment. Until this generation, the safest place to be was home. Home was always that place that was sheltered. That was what home is. Home is a place that mom and dad watched over, right? Home is a place where you're behaving. There are times when you sneak out of home. You sneak out of home. Today, the most dangerous place to be is home, with the most wonderful father and the most wonderful mother. You know why? Because you're in total control of your privacy at home. You know your house. You have home court advantage at home. It's the only place where you can be the most private in the ways that only you know how you could be. And it's so sad. The place that was the safest place in the world became the most dangerous place. I've had people tell me that they only fail at home. They don't fail when they go to their friends' houses. They don't fail when they're in Eretz Yisrael. They don't fail when they're in Florida. It's just that home affords this opportunity of being so at home. So at home. And this requires preparation. We need to really try to understand what we really want. And the first thing is to really want to succeed. And the reason I'm talking about character here is I'm not sure all of us really want to learn during Bein HaZmanim. Some of us do, some of us don't. But every one of us is dealing with a moral dilemma of where we are. There's not one person in the room who doesn't want to be well and better on a level of being a better person, not in a cesspool, not seeing things that are beneath them. Every person wants to succeed in this area. I don't think there's a single person that doesn't want that. So now, how do we do that? This is something that we said before, and we're going to chazer over again. A person can change his settings on his phone. He can filter his phone, and he has to do that. He has to do that. However, many people are looking at themselves as totally incapable of succeeding in any science. Therefore, their phone is behind bars, but as soon as the bars would be taken away, so then the crazy man will come out. That's the way we look at things. Now, if we have that attitude, it's very very nice because we're putting all these filters on our phones. However, I've never seen a filter that works. There is not a single filter that works. First of all, most filters just don't work. Second of all, everyone has a kid sister with an iPad, which that's what she watches cartoons on. It's impossible to be in a place that's filtered today. There's no such thing as a filtered place. There's no protected environment. A person is chayiv to filter everything in sight. It's chayiv to tell his parents that his crazy mashgiach, I don't have a problem, Mom, I never saw any of this, but my wacko mashgiach doesn't let us go home unless you put a code on your computer. You guys can all, I've been doing that for people, by the way. I've been the wacko mashgiach for those who are embarrassed to say that they have a yitzhahara, right? But it's impossible to live life with just filtering. Yosef HaTzadik became Yosef HaTzadik in Yichud. He was stuck somewhere. He was stuck. He wasn't Yosef HaTzadik just because he was machbid. He was machbid to stay away from trouble. He was Yosef HaTzadik because trouble came to him. Trouble came to him, and he dealt with it. He was great at that moment. There were opportunities for Yosef, much more than that. The opportunities were actively grabbing him, and he's our role model. And I think a lot of times when we deal with these issues, we're not thinking that we should be greater. We're just thinking that we should be more protected. It's not the way to do it. The way a person has to do this is say to himself, I have changed. I have a different value system than I used to. I don't believe that this is morally correct. I want to save myself from my wife. I want to be able to feel like she's the most beautiful person in the world. I want to purify myself. I want to be different. When a person feels that way, they make better decisions even when they can mess up. And if a person doesn't do that today, doesn't decide that they're different, they will definitely fail every time. Because it's impossible today. Every moment is a nisayon of Yosef HaTzadik today. Every moment is yichud with an eishes ish. Is yichud with an eishes ish. And I'm going to say something that's a little bit controversial. But people have asked me this, Shaila. Actually, my Israeli chavrusa asked it to me. He says, what is going on here? You're telling me all these people are always falling all these time, all the bachrim. We have these Mizrahi cousins. Nice people, professionals. They have iPhones that are not filtered. And they're doing okay. They're doing okay. Now, this is a complicated question. I can tell you that the frum answer is, they're not doing okay, and they're in a riot all the time, and they're smiling, and don't believe it! You think he's a nice dentist? He's an evil, disgusting pig. Right? That's the way that sounds very frum. However, that's not true. It's not true. For sure, they're seeing things that are inappropriate. But many, 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 many of these people have never seen pornography and the like. They've never seen these things. So how can we explain this? That people are left and right in these troubled situations. And then you have people. You know, I have siblings. My parents have iPhones. And they're not filtered. And I'm not chushish for them to doing anything inappropriate. Now, this is not, I'm not saying that that's the right thing to do, but why is it that they're able to be omid b'nisayin? They don't have yetzaharas? None of these people have yetzaharas? The answer is very simple. It's a very simple answer. They don't define themselves as people who would look at those things. So yeah, they're looking at maybe even inappropriate pictures of women that are on People magazine and maybe on internet sites and maybe on news stations, but they have a certain moral code that doesn't let them go to certain places. It doesn't let them go. And if a person doesn't have that, then they're in trouble. And this is why the people that I think are successful with this are people who got iPhones later in life. People who got them at age 20 and up, you know, a certain generation gap, where they were people already, and now they have a tool. So obviously some people go hook, line, and sinker into a cesspool, but other people have a value system that was developed, But the vast majority of people today do not. The average 10-year-old is exposed to pornography while doing a book report for school. Type in the White House, trying to research the White House, ends up on a site of pornography. The average 10-year-old. That means nobody's ever had the opportunity to define what's good or what's bad. It's so sad, and it's not anyone's fault. It's not anyone's fault. But that's a very scary thing. That means that if we want to succeed in this, we have to redefine ourselves. How can someone redefine himself when at 10 years old they were exposed to these things? Only through serious thought of what they want their marriage to look like, how they want their kids to look up to them. You know, people send me all sorts of interesting letters. I get letters, and right before people get married, they send me letters, and they know I know what they were up to, and they say, I'm going to be better, and this, and I'm starting a new life, and this. They write me these nice letters. And every one of these guys who writes me these letters, every time the phone rings with them, my heart's sinking. It's very dangerous for me to see their number, because I'm just waiting for everything to explode. It's very hard. This is a hard profession I'm in. And I just see it. So I either think most of the time people are either lying to me, or if they tell me the truth, I'm really going to be out. But if a person doesn't work as a bachur, it doesn't just happen. They have to really work to define themselves, as better people. They sit with themselves and they say, is this something that I would be proud of? If I was sitting with Rabbi Center next to me, would I show him this? Would I be happy with him seeing this about me? Why not? Why not? Just because it's embarrassing to be seen like that? No, because I'm better. The only thing that saved Yosef HaTzadik was that he saw the image of his father. That's the only thing that saved him, which was, I have yichus. I am chashuv. I come from a line of people who are great. And therefore, even if the most attractive thing is running after me, I am empowered to say no, because I understand who I am. And I think that we're not talking about this enough. I think that we're talking about ourselves like we're animals that you know, just have to stay behind bars. And then it's, because you know how I know we talk this way? Because how did people tell me that they failed over Bein Hazmanim? Their filter broke. That's not an answer for failing in Bein Hazmanim. You're not a person, you're a monkey or a lion. I'm a monkey or I'm a lion. A filter is not a person. So what? Your filter broke, right? If your car breaks down, right? So that's it. Well, you just stay on the highway. I'm here for the rest of my life. My car broke down, right? No. If a person really understands who he is, he can deal. First thing he does, he calls Rabbi Geisler and says, Rabbi Geisler, we have a technical problem over here. And you know a yeshiva bachur should not be without a filter. Please take care of this immediately. Right? He does that. But it's not like until Rabbi Geisler goes, Chas v'shalom. He's a good boy. He wants to be good. Chas v'shalom. Chas v'shalom. And when people look at themselves like animals, they act like animals. This is the second stage. Getting filters is the second stage of the nisterinus of this dar. The only way to make it through this generation is to know that we are better than everyone, that we are higher than everyone. We could be afforded opportunities and say, I'm not interested in that. This is not what I want to be doing. And it's the only way to survive. And when we're talking about the concept of filters, the truth is that Rabbeinu Yonah says that people who don't do siyagim, in the Mishnah, in the beginning of Avos, it says, asu siyag l'Torah, make a fence for the Torah. Rabbeinu Yonah says that, what's the difference between someone who successfully doesn't do something bad and someone who sets up fences and doesn't do something bad? Oh, I also didn't do something bad. I didn't set up a fence. Right, I have an unfiltered thing and I behaved. I behave, so I'm just as good. I'm even better than the guy who had a fence. And maybe the guy who had a fence, he failed. I didn't even fail. So I'm better. Says Rabbeinu Yonah, it's a terrible mistake. He says that somebody who's willing to not have an alarm system on something, not have protection on it, doesn't care about the thing at all. If I'm willing to play Russian roulette with something, that means I don't care. I don't care. So if I'm willing to have things just possible for me to have, to be exposed to, then even if I succeed, I really didn't care enough. So it's this complex mixture. On the one hand, a person has to be confident that they could be in a place that's so bad and turn it off, turn it down, turn everything away. But on the other hand, they have to be in such fear that they could never let themselves get into that situation. Sounds like a paradox, but it is not. Anything that we value, we put tons of alarms on. And it's a situation of showing value towards something. The next point is that a lot of times people ask me questions about staying good. Staying good. Sometimes they're nisyonos, by the way. Even when a person can find the right woman to marry, but it could be that there are various nisyonos, a long engagement, etc. We're human beings, and it's possible that chas v'shalom someone could feel like they're having a nisayon even with the right person. I don't know etzes. People ask, you know, call your kala twice a week, you know, for 2.5 minutes, and this, and then that, and then see her, and then run away, and then I don't know these rules. I don't know where they come from. Somebody needs to make these rules. It's not me, because I can't find them in the Rambam. Anything that's not in the Rambam, I just don't tell people. People come to me with tainas. They say, why don't you give me rules? I said, it's not in the Rambam. I can only give you one rule, which is in the Rambam. And this is the same rule for Vein Hazmanim. This is the only thing that I tell people when they're engaged and they want to just be good, which all of them are good. Baruch Hashem, Ameh Kulam Sadiqim. They're all good. But this is how to be good. The Rambam at the end of Yisurei Bia says that Arayus is very tempting. But then he says the following thing, which I think should be made more famous. He says, Roy lo la'adam lakuf yitzro bedavar zeh lahargal atzma v'kdushi yaseirim makshava tahira. Person should try to uplift himself. Li natzal mehen. First, elevate your personality so that you're above these things. But right after he says elevating yourself, like we've been talking about, be a person who's above. Watch out for yichud. Anytime someone's over on yichud, then this is the gorim hagadol. This is the big quest. I tell people very simply, you're a chassan and you're a kala. I'm giving you advice. Never be halachically alone. Because the definition of halachically alone means a place where you feel comfortable making a mistake. And it's a Rambam. It's a Rambam. And the same thing applies by unfiltered internet. All the Poskim have said this. Rav Vazner Zatzal and others have said that there's an Isser Yichud over here. The best thing a person can do is not use the internet in their room. In their room. Use it in the kitchen. Use it in the living room. Don't use it in your room. A lot of people curl up to bed with their iPhones. A person doesn't have to say, I'm not going to be nechshal. Make a kabbalah not to use your iPhone when you're lying down in bed or when you're in bed at all. Certain kabbalahs of yichud, of not being alone with something. When you're not alone with something, you've limited the opportunities for that thing. And home allows for so much yichud. There's so many tricks to yichud. Don't take it into the bathroom, right? This is the big trick today. A person, even in our wonderful yeshiva, can have a paradise in the bathroom, right? No one's going to go in there to find you. A bathroom is a haven for doing anything and everything you want today. Person makes a kabbalah, I will not take my phone into the bathroom. It takes you to a different place. It protects you in so many different scenarios. It's a Rambam. It's a Rambam. It's a Rambam. And this is really a war, and it's hard for me to be in this position. The worst part of my job is hearing about failures. I love hearing about successes. It's very painful to hear about failures. And it's such good people, such big people, who are falling. And I don't think that we're training ourselves properly. I think it's very good that we have a week now, before Bein HaZmanim, to really do some soul-searching of our value system in order to work on this. And the next point is, we always like to say this, is that falling, having a nefila, is not like a water slide. Right? A water slide, once you decide, you know, like those really scary water slides, they're like, I always think you could fall out. You know, those ones that shoot down, right? I never did it. I was always about to do it. Right? But once you go down that slide, you can't get back up. Right? That's not the way Yiddishkeit works. If a person, chas v'shalom, for a second forgets how great he was, at some point in Bein HaZmanim, he can become great again right away. You just get right back up on the saddle. A person starts to start asking himself funny questions. I'm not real, I'm a faker, and I'm this, and that. And therefore, the rest of I'm in a cesspool. That's it. No. Look at your stats. The opposite. The opposite. A person who is toim tam chet and pushes it away is in total control. That's very, very impressive. And we're not asking to fall, but someone who can fall and stop the process, is a great man. Is a great man. The Stipler Gaon and Rav Shach Zatzal were very big on making sure that people don't have all or nothing attitudes towards inyanim like this, towards inyani kedusha. That's not the way life works. Life is complicated. Sometimes you get shot and you have to move on. It's a war. And you have to get up, or else the enemy can shoot you when you're down. To get up, and you have to run. That's another important point for Bein HaZmanim. Another one, which is friends. Friends are not steiging in yeshiva, but they're still your boys. They're still your boys. And they, first of all, they like to control the situation. So, friends are important, and I don't think it's simple to just write people off. Good friends, loyal friends, special people. But it's important to have home court advantage. You be the first to call your friends when you get home. But invite them over with home court advantage, where you're setting up what the chill is, what we're going to be doing. Set it up in a way that a Ben Torah would be able to do it. Have that home court advantage. Everyone's afraid of being in cars where all sorts of music that's not up to their standards is going to be. If a person has a friend that they don't feel can hear that they would like something to be different on the radio, we're only going on a 20-minute ride. And I've made some advances in yeshiva. I'm not even judging you, nothing. I'm just asking you, this is a public place. We're all in the car. There are four of us here. Could we listen to something different? If you have friends that don't respect that, they don't respect you. They don't respect you. Anyone who feels they have to tiptoe around friends does not have real friends. I've had friends who are totally secular. I've had friends who are totally secular. There's a mutual respect for one another, and there's an understanding of certain values. And if a person doesn't feel that they have friends that respect that, then these are people that you want to question whether or not they're really friends. And this Stam brings me to something that goes on in the dorms. We pointed out last week, Zevi Kaufman termed the phrase ear pollution. Right? There's air pollution and there's ear pollution. Everyone agrees that when there's secondhand smoke in the locker room, that's immoral. Right? Whenever we've seen it, it happens. But people who smoke in a place that's a non-smoking place in yeshiva are not upright people. Why? It's very simple, and this is why there are all sorts of rules to this, because they're exposing other people to their mess. It's bad enough that they're addicted to something, and now through secondhand smoke, so now people are exposed to this who never wanted to be. It's not fair. It's not fair. Go up to that landing. You know, there's always a group of people there. But we don't feel that way by music. Sometimes people think that it's okay to blast their music or even sing their music in the halls of a yeshiva. That's polluting the air. It's insensitive. Friends do not do that to each other. It's a lack of respect. Whenever a person takes over a public domain, they're not respecting the people who are getting trampled over. That's why we have beats. We have special surround sound technology that we never had before that lets you be in your own thing without affecting other people. And when we're home in Bein HaZmanim, we have to be around such people, people who don't bring us down. The last thing is to have a schedule. A schedule is very important. If a person wakes up at a normal time, Bifrat, before Zman Kriya Shema, goes to a minyan, even if the day is not that productive, every person who I've given this Eitzah to have told me they've had a better Bein HaZmanim. Because when they get up, they feel like they have a day, they're a productive person. The best way to deal with Bein HaZmanim is to make sure that a person gets up at all costs at a proper time. And if a person will be zocha to learn and wants to be makabel on himself to learn, they should do it while they're in shul, either for Shachris or Mincha and Marav. Why? Because you're in a very Jewish place right now. There are svarim on the shelves. Every shul is basically also a base medrash. It's so much more likely before or after Shachris to have learnt, to get it, and feel like $1,000,000. You can play ball for 6 hours. If you learn for a half hour, you're going to feel like a big success because you are a success. And find a friend who's more motivated than you, not someone, oh, we're going to learn, we'll call each other. Right? I love these things. I was doing that for years until I realized I had no chavrusas for anything. Right? A person who wants to do it more than you, who's a good role model, it's doable. We have technology today that works in our favor. There's shiurim on the internet. A lot of times, I know in Bein HaZmanim, I'm like, I cannot look at a Gemara. I'm older than you. I'm just like, no, do you know what I'm talking about? You don't want to admit it. Maybe you're holier. I'm like, whenever I say I want to get out of Maharal, it's not a good thing for me. It means I'm always misbehaving. Oh, I'm a mashgiach, so I should be learning Maharal now. It's not a good thing for me. But nothing, obviously the Maharal's Kodesh Kedashim, but for me, sometimes I use it as an escape. But I'll call upon him. Today we have Shiurim. Last Bein HaZmanim, Rav Eli Hofstadter, some of his Bachrim, went through 17 Shiurim of his. 17 Shiurim. Each day, there were 17 days of Bein HaZmanim, they heard a Shiur. It was an amazing achievement. A Shiur has a certain structure. You press play, it starts, it ends. So it's a very good thing. And sometimes you can't motivate yourself, but you could put on your headphones, you press play and go, I'm going to sit here for the next 45 minutes. Let the man speak. Maybe he has something good to say. Right? If it's a Gemara, you could finish a small Masechta if you want, from audio files. You could pashut finish Maseches Chagiga by the end of Bein HaZmanim. No problem. Just let the man speak, follow him along the Gemara, have a pina colada, sit on a hammock. Right? Be in front of the beach. Whatever you want. Whatever you want. But it's amazing that these tools are there for us. The last thing I want to say is the following. That we always point out that there are people who perhaps still watch movies, and that is something that always it's a goal to be more and more tyridic and more shaykh to what's appropriate and not be in the umos. However, even people who do that have to realize that on a plane, a person is coming back from yeshiva, first of all, which is his way of thanking Hashem for the zman, right? And it's his way of, he actually was hoping to have a successful Bein HaZmanim. This is not going to necessarily send him in the right direction. But that itself wouldn't be enough. The problem is that people always look at yeshiva bachrim on planes and see how they behave. And it's a big shiloh of Achil Hashem of doing things publicly. Whenever you do something publicly, you have to realize that the cost might be greater than what you're willing to pay. A person has to realize this. And now I want to get to the last thing which I never talked about before, which is that a lot of times people don't need to worry about being a yeshiva bachur on the plane, because everybody is wearing the most interesting outfits when they leave this yeshiva. Pajamas and neon, and like they look like they're going on a bike-a-thon or something. Lemaisa, that's not the way to be a Ben Torah. Okay, there are certain people who are not there yet, but nothing's going to happen to a person if they wear a button-down shirt and carry pajamas with them, wear a yarmulke like a good Ehrlich Yid, maybe even a nice pair of khaki pants. But what we're doing to ourselves, by the way, is we're living the part of failure for Bein Hazmanim. When a person leaves Eretz Yisrael that way, they are destined to fail. When they put on that outfit, they're already behind the eight ball. If you look like a respectable Ben Torah, you don't, maybe not even like a Haredi Ben Torah, but let's like call it like something in the middle, like a starked out Shalavim guy or something, right? Those guys really, they're really stark. When you go onto a plane and look that way, you'll feel better about yourself. It'll be more realistic for you to have that feeling that we talked about before, that I'm better. But when you go in with like tight Adidas and a cap like on the side, the ones that barely fit your head, that go like that, it's not, you're behind the eight ball. You're behind the eight ball. But Gadim have a tremendous hashpah on us. We should all be zochet to think about this over the next week and have a great Bein Hazmanim.